Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on every one of us. Amen. We're beginning a new tradition this week. I forgot to tell the musicians. Of having everyone come down actually as the gospel is read and then remain in the pews as we go all the way through the Nicene Creed and then to the prayers of the people and then return back up afterwards. So now everybody knows. Sorry, we decided and didn't tell anybody. This sermon this morning is one which I confess to having wrestled with God about. Part of it was a refusal on my part to want to speak directly a word for all of us, but he has convicted me that I must, and so I will. If you know anything about the history of this church, you know that it has been led by prophecy. Now, I don't mean prophecy quite in the sense in which Isaiah prophesied, or Elijah prophesied, but I mean prophecy in a good, solid, biblical sense. Prophecy in the Bible typically does not refer to a foretelling of the future. It does at times, but typically what it refers to is a word of the Lord for his people to upbuild them, to convict them, to teach them, to move them in a direction where they have been headed in a direction other than what he intended. 2 years ago, almost to the day, this church was split by a schism where the vast majority of the church, hundreds of people, left and started an independent congregation which now meets in Glen Ellen. 11 people were left behind. And shortly thereafter, that 3 joined, a young family joined, and brought it up to 14. And this small group of people did not know what they were to do because these 14 people were left in a church where they thought the life had gone out of it, or they feared that, at least. And so they prayed. And they wanted to know whether they were to simply disperse into other congregations and allow this property to be sold, or whether they were to stay and build a church again from the remnant. And so they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And that tradition continues to this day. This is a praying church. And they were led against impossible odds to remain and start a church again. And I won't tell you all of the leading that they had now, because this isn't the focus of this morning. But it included that they were to call a full-time priest. 14 people were to call a full-time priest. That they were to begin evangelism as that priest came, which they have done. And that they were to be faithful, and that God would provide. That congregation started that year with a budget of $10,000 2 years ago. That year, $44,000 or so dollars came in. And that money was spent on evangelism and outreach and the food pantry and worship and many other things. Similarly, last year, pardon me, we had a budget of 40-some-odd thousand dollars, and we have already this year brought in 60-some thousand dollars, far beyond what anyone anticipated a year ago. And this has come both from the growth in the congregation in terms of numbers, but also growth in the congregation in our individual walks with God, as he has led us to give. To give of our time and our treasure and our talent. Now, I believe that much of that leading has come through what we refer to as legitimately as prophecy. And this is a congregation which I often refer to as quietly charismatic. And what I mean by that is that you will not see here typically the kind of emotionalism that you might see in a more lively charismatic or Pentecostal church. But there is, nevertheless, a belief that the gifts continue, that all of the gifts listed by Paul in Corinthians, for instance, continue to this day. Those gifts are distributed in the body differently. Each person has gifts, gift or gifts, as given by the Spirit of God. But we don't believe that at some arbitrary date in the past, 100 AD or whatever, that just a handful of those gifts suddenly stopped, but rather that all of the gifts continue. And these continue: the gift of pastoring, evangelism, teaching, hospitality, even tongues, prophecy, and so on. Now again, as I say, not all of these gifts are given to each person, and there is no test in this church that if you don't have any one of those gifts, that you're not saved, or that you are not submitted to the Spirit of God. But yet we believe that all of the gifts survive, because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If you were to read 1 Corinthians 14, the first five verses, this is what you would hear from Paul. Pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people, but to God. For nobody understands them, since they are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to other people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. Now I would like that all of you speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. So Paul says clearly here that there is a purpose to prophecy in the church, and it is for the upbuilding of the church. And if I were to recount in detail many times in the life of this congregation in the last 2 years where there has been a word from the Lord confirmed and lived out and become a part of the very lifeblood of this congregation and has resulted in its deepening in its walk with the Lord. However, I believe that we should also exercise great caution. And the reason is because it is so easy for an individual to be misled by a false spirit, by his or her own imagination, whatever, and to say, this is the word of the Lord for Church of the Resurrection. You are to sell the property that you have, take all of the money, and establish a mission in the northwest corner of Nepal. Now, I believe God might tell us to do that. But if one person in this congregation stood up and said, this is the word of the Lord, two tests would be applied to that prophecy immediately. The first test would be, is it consistent with Scripture? And if it was not wholly consistent with Scripture, it would be rejected. Secondly, it would be confirmed by other mature Christians in the faith. God is perfectly capable of talking to more than one of us at a time and telling us the same thing. And so if only one person stands up and says, I believe we should move to Nepal, and others in the congregation don't say, God quickened my heart and said the same thing, without there having been a conversation between the two of them, then we know that this is not to be taken seriously. Now, this is not to say that even with these two tests, we can't make mistakes. We will. We're human beings, and we will err. But we have had what I would describe clearly as a prophecy from a member of this congregation. I will not tell you who it is. But I will tell you, and I will show you how, that it has passed both of these tests, and I'm going to share it with you. And it's both frightening and awesome. Let me just read this. Now, you know, if you are on our mailing list, that in the last couple of weeks you received from me a letter about membership in the congregation and about an annual pledge. And I explained clearly that we wanted to be good stewards of our money, and therefore we asked people to pledge whatever God led them to pledge and to write that on the pledge letter and to bring it to church today, and that we would offer these up on God's altar, and that we would use that to construct the budget which we would operate for or operate by for the next year. The person who shared this word with me and who has also shared it with Dolores, when I received this phone call and this was spoken to me, I will tell you that my first and instantaneous response was a quickening of my heart and belief that this is a true word for us. And I'm very cautious about these things. I will tell you that Dolores, who was also called, had exactly the same response to this. And I will tell you that it is wholly consistent with Scripture, and I will show you how that's true. And here is the portion of it which is germane to this body. There is to be no annual pledge. My people are to be a living people whose succor and nourishment comes from me and me alone. This body is not to worship or be led by a budget, but by me. Great harm comes to a body through pledges and oaths, for I have said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this is evil and does not proceed from me. I will direct my children to give as I will have them give. A budget for this body is a hindrance to faith, lest they say at the beginning of the year, we have done all that was required of us. Much happens during the span of a year. You have only to look at last year to acknowledge this. My people are to look to the living God who richly supplies all their needs. With a budget comes temptation and compulsion. As I reflected on these words, I realized that they were true in many profound ways. Even as I look back at the life of this congregation in the years before, the 2 years before this, in the year when this congregation set a budget of $10,000, all they did was say, we think we can, the few of us that are here can supply $10,000. And it was in that year that more than $40,000 came in. And one of the women after the 8 o'clock service this morning said to me, you know, when you preached this sermon today, joy leapt in my heart because I realized that during that first year when there were so few of us here, we were completely dependent upon the Lord. We knew we couldn't do this. It was impossible for the few of us and our few resources to rebuild this church. It couldn't happen. We were completely dependent upon the Lord. And there was a special closeness in our walk with Him that came about as a result. She said, I don't believe He's taken that away, but actually I take this word as a blessing that He's not had to first take it away so that we would miss it and then give it back. But instead He said to us, this is how I want you to live. I want you to live daily with me. I want you to depend upon me daily. And look at the temptation that stands for us. Last year, in our budget, we had $300 set aside for outreach. How much did we spend for outreach last year? We spent $300. In fact, I accuse all of us in that discussion of looking at needs that we knew that were out there. And we said, well, let's take the $300 we've set aside and divide it up among these two needs that we know about. And yet, both of those needed more. And there were others that we did nothing about because our budget was $300. lest your people say, we have done all that is required of us. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to depend upon God, not upon our budget and not upon our pledges. And if the Lord says, here is a ministry I want this church to fulfill, whether it's evangelism or outreach or supporting a missionary in Africa, then we will simply say, what's the cost? And the Lord will quicken our hearts to supply it. Now, we will not just announce what those things are. We will pray it through. We will pray it through until we know that we have the Lord's leading on this. This will not be George or Dolores or even the vestry, for that matter, simply running off in the direction that they believe they should go. We will pray these through. Now, we will meet all of our obligations as we have. We'll pay our gas bill and our electric bill and all of those fundamentals that a congregation requires. But beyond that, which is new ministry, evangelism, and missionary outreach, and outreach to people who are in need, we will seek the Lord's leading, we will count the cost, and we will tell everyone what the cost is. And we will rely upon the Creator of the universe to move our hearts to be able to meet the cost of whatever that mission is. So what I'm going to ask you to do today, as we get to the time when we collect the offerings, and each of us would have taken his pledge or her pledge and put it in that basket, I want you to take those pieces of paper out, and I want you to rip them in half and take just the top portion with your name and address and your birthdays and anniversaries and your declaration or not as a member of this congregation, and I want you to remove the bottom portion of that, which shows the amount of your pledge, and you take it home and throw it away. If I pledge, Lord God, I promise I'll tithe during 1996, or I'll give 5% of my income, whatever it is, then when a need arises, if I've already given what I've promised to give and someone comes to me and says, George, we have this family who's in desperate straits, can you contribute to it? I will say, I've given what I promised. I have no more. Can't get rock from a blood. I mean, blood from a rock. I've given what I promised. Right? Lest they say, we have done all that is required of us. We will rely upon every single person's individual walk with God to determine week by week and day by day what we are to give. We will not budget. We will not require pledges. We will rely on each one of us to hear God's voice and to give as the need requires that we give, and as we pray through it and know that that's what we're called to do. And I pray that we pray this prayer. In fact, I've asked Devin if he would sing this as I conclude here, and I'm going to ask everybody to sing it with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. This will be our prayer daily. We will enter this year not knowing what God requires of us, not knowing what resources are available, but knowing that what the Creator of the universe determines to do, we certainly can step into His will and act with Him to do it as He requires. We do that with His Spirit, which He gives to us for our leading. And now, if you'd all just stand and join us and sing this song, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit.
Now I ask you to declare your faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.